obaye. In Christianity, God is a preserver. In Christianity, God is a deliverer. In Christianity, God is one who prospers. He's a prosperer. He's one who prospers. So in Christianity, God is our suitor.
You are about to be so blessed by the words coming to you from the man of God, Reverend Samuel Kwame Sasu.
I'm talking to you today about the ABCs of the leading of the Spirit. Yeah. So, come on, hallelujah. Say, I'm led by the Spirit. One more time, say, I'm led by the Spirit. So, that was God's dream. You go to Psalm 32. Let's go to Psalm 32 quickly. Psalm 32, verse 8. He says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. Put it in NIV for me. He says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way you should go. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. The word instruct in another version, he says, I will lead you. I will lead you and I will teach you in the way you should go. So there's going to be, so God knows the way we should go. I'll come there. He knows the way we should go. Praise the name of the Lord. So there are people who are very confused about their lives. They don't know what to do. They don't know where they are going. You know, their life, it looks like a whole big mass without any compass of direction. Their life is just round like a ball. They wake up, they sleep, they wake up, they sleep, they go to work. And that's all that their life is about. There's no sense of direction. But the God that has saved us is a God that directs. He's a directional God. It means that he's a God that leads. He's a leading God. Come on, am I preaching good now? He's a leading God. He's a God that leads. He's a God that will not want his people to be in the dark. Hallelujah. He's not a God that will put his people in confusion. He's not a God that will put his people in a place where they would have to struggle to find their way out. He is a God that leads out. Glory. He leads out and he leads in. I believe in God. Come on, I said I believe in God. Everybody say I believe in God. Yeah, so it's very important. He's a God of leadership. I'm not saying he's a leader as in a leader. He's a God that leads. He's a God that directs. You're walking with him, you should be ready to be led. He's a God that leads. Hallelujah. And lastly, let's go to Isaiah 42:16. Isaiah 42:16. I want to do this preaching very solemnly. Demurely. 42:16, I will lead the blind by ways they have not known. Are we together? He says, I will lead the blind by the ways they have not known. I'm led by God. Can you just look at your life right now? Look at the whole sum of life. Look at the troubles of life and the uncertainties of life and just say it, I'm led by God.
I'm led by God.
I mean it. I want you to look at life, the uncertainties of life. Look at the troubles of life. Look at the different kinds of things that a man can achieve and all of that. Say it, I'm led by God. No, like you mean, say, I am led by God. You came to church, you are in church. I want you to say it, I am led by God. I'm under spiritual leadership. He says that I will lead the blind. Now, it tells you the potency of his leadership. that God, listen. Listen. The Bible says that God is a spirit. It means that if God is going to lead you, how many of us have seen a blind person being led before? The person will hold your hand and then physically, but God is a spirit. The blind is mortal. It will be very difficult. God is going to lead the blind without any physical thing. Because he's a spirit. He says, I will lead the blind. So a blind man can wake up, can get up without a stick and will start going. And you ask the blind man, where in the world are you going? Say, I'm being led by God. How do you know where to stop? Are you not afraid of the cars? Are you not afraid? God says, I have the power to lead the blind man in the way that he has never known. Look at that. Because if you are going to lead the blind will need assistance. Another human being. So the Bible says the blind cannot lead the blind. Somebody should have eyes to be able to lead the blind home. But God says, I'm a spirit. But I want to tell you the potency of my spiritual leadership. I can be unseen. I can be unfelt. But if the blind subscribes to me, I can lead the blind in the ways, in the ways, in the ways. It means that God's leadership is not just one. He leads in different kinds of ways. In other words, every aspect of your life, there can be spiritual leadership. God can lead you in every area of your life. God can lead you in the kind of school you should go. He can lead you in the kind of person you should marry. He can lead you in the kind of work you should do. He can lead. God can lead you in every aspect of your life. Madabakatai. Hallelujah. Say, I am not left in the dark. Now, some of you didn't come to church. Some of you are playing all gentle. That's your business. But we are in January, and this is very timely. I am led in every way of my life. Come on, say, in the name of Jesus, I am led in every way of my life. So the God that we have come to believe does not just make us speak in tongues. He does not just make us come to church. He does not make us just go home and fall in trouble. One of his most powerful thing, or the powerful thing that he does in our lives, or the one of the most powerful thing God accomplishes in the life of the people who matters to him and who are close to him, is that he directs their lives. He says that I will lead the blind by ways they have not known. I will take them along unfamiliar paths. I will guide them. Now, this thing that God is saying is very important. When somebody is blind, for example, let's say somebody goes home. He goes to town and he goes home. Then when he gets home, he's blind. The person has been used to the house. So he can know where the light is. He can know where and all of that. For example, if I close my eye, when there's light out and your room is in order as it has been, you can walk, go to where your bed is. You don't need a stick. You are not seeing anything because the directions of your room is very familiar to you. But God says, I'm going to take the blind on an unfamiliar path. It means, listen, the unfamiliar path is that kind of path you need somebody physically to lead you if you are blind. And God says, forget about it. I will take you through path that you don't understand. Path that looks some way. You understand what I'm talking about? Some way kind of path. Hallelujah. Some way kind of area. Some way kind of dealings. He says, He says that along unfamiliar paths, I will guide them. Do you believe this?
Yes, Pastor.
Come on, do you believe this?
Yes, sir.
Unfamiliar path. It means we are talking about paths that really you You don't really know what this thing is about, but it looks some way. You feel like you want to go, but you don't even know what is in there for. You don't know how it's going to go. You can't calculate everything. You can't know everything and all of that. And God said, relax, I'm going to guide you on those kind of paths. Hallelujah. I will turn the darkness into light before them and make rough places smooth. These are the things I will do. I will not forsake them. I'll come to this scripture again at the end of this thing. So God promises leadership. God promises his leading. Hallelujah. It's one of the big things that he promises in the Old Testament. So in the mind of God, he does not want any of his children to be in the dark. He does not want any of his children at any point in time to feel confused because they are not led. God does not need a man to lead you. He can lead you. Praise the name of the Lord. So he promises this in the Old Testament. So Jesus, the Lord, makes a certain declarations about the Spirit. You will find out that all the promises of God to lead his people is through the Spirit. I want to say that again. When God says, I'm going to lead you, you are not going to see God come and say, yeah, I'm God, come and let me lead you. All the leadings of God is found in the Holy Spirit that he gives us. So when you read Luke chapter 24, verse 49, Jesus calls the Holy Spirit the promise of the Father. And the word promise is from the Greek word is pronouncement of blessings. Announcement of blessings, or a promise that one is bound by an oath. So he calls the Spirit. He says, I'm going to send you what my Father has promised. What has the Father promised? His promise that I will lead you. His promise that I will guide you. Hallelujah. I will guide you in ways you are not familiar with. When it doesn't look familiar, don't rule out the fact that you are being led. I'm led by the Spirit. Come on, say, I'm led by the Spirit. One more time. I'm led by the Spirit. Very important. Hallelujah. So he calls the Spirit the promise of the Father. Same thing he said in Acts 1:4. He calls him the promise of the Father. He says, tarry and wait for the promise of the Father. In Acts, the same thing. Act 1:4 quickly says, go to Act 1:4. He says, on one occasion while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised. So the Spirit of God, the Lord Jesus calls him the promise. The promise. Why is he called the promise? Because God promised him throughout the Old Testament. He was the totality of all the promises of God. That's the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So Jesus, when he was about finishing his earthly ministry and going to the cross, he gave some last teachings. Hallelujah. The teachings that preceded his death. The teachings that preceded his death. Let's begin from 16 of John 7. I tell you truly, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Hallelujah. Jesus had been on the earth for 33 years, met these guys, and had ministry with them for 3 years or 3.5 years. And they've seen wonders. Imagine if you were part of Jesus's crew. The wonders you see. You see a man walking on water. A man lifting his hands over the sea and calming the waves. A man, the Bible says, one day they were walking and then some people were carrying coffin. Somebody was inside the coffin. And the Bible says the one who was dead was the only child of the mother, and the mother was a widow. So Jesus picked up in his spirit, no, this is the woman's last hope. And the Bible says that those who carried the casket, they were afar off. And the Bible says, Jesus said, stand still. Jesus commanded them to stand still. And the Bible said that those who, oh my goodness, think about it. When people are going to bury somebody, it's a lot of people that go. It's not just two people. So it means a lot of people. But Jesus commanded them to stand still. And the Bible said they stood still. Everybody stood still. It wasn't like they know Jesus or Jesus was their king. Jesus commanded them, don't move. Can you imagine like somebody is moving and say, in the name of Jesus, or somebody snatched your phone and say, stand still. And the person goes like that. You know what we call steam? Steam action. You understand? So Jesus commanded them like that. And they stood still. And the Bible said that, you know, when he got there, then he commanded them that they should put the casket down. So it means that the people were even out of their mind. Because when they stood, they didn't put the, they are just holding the thing like that. Then the Bible says, Jesus looks at the one who was in the coffin and he says, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And the Bible says he presented the young man to the mother alive. What a wondrous person. What a glorious God. Hallelujah. So the wonders these guys saw, when there was only 5 loaves of bread and 3 fishes, and right before their eyes, they fed over 5,000 people with it. There was no wonder these people didn't see. Praise the name of the Lord. And after all these wonders, Jesus tells them that, you know what? It is for your good that I go away. Because if I don't go away, the Comforter will not come. Ay, 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 ay. Glory to God now. I want to fly, but hold on. It is for your good that I go away. Because if I don't go away, I mean, what is more good than your presence with us? So what is better than the physical presence of Jesus with us? Jesus said there is something better. Look at the brother and tell the brother there is something better. And Jesus says, what is better than my physical presence with you is the Spirit. Are we together in this place? Is the Spirit. So what is better? What is more advantageous? Jesus is saying that if you compare my physical presence being with you, my physical presence with you, and the presence of the Spirit with you, you will gain more if the Spirit is with you than if I am with you. What in the world are you talking about? Because if I was part of Jesus' disciple at that time, I would tell him I don't agree. Hallelujah. Now let's continue the reading. Verse 8. And when he is come, so it says, and when he is come, when the Comforter is come, when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. A lot of people have preached all kinds of things with this scripture, you know, and people have all kinds of things. But listen, I'll teach on this Easter. Yeah, I'll talk about this. This is an Easter scripture. Hallelujah. He says he will reprove. The word reprove means he will convince. The Spirit will convince the world that they are sinners and they need help. That's what he's talking about. Hallelujah. That's why I tell you, if you go for evangelism, you are talking to somebody now. Oh, I want to share the gospel with you. Say, Master, Master, Master. There's, oh, please. Charlie, my busy. Oh, Mr. Mame, no. No. Those people, we don't save them. Because the Holy Spirit will convince the world of sin means that the person will come to the realization that I need a savior. Sometimes when you are going out, you literally want to beg people. You are going to call somebody for church. Now, which is, you know, leave the person alone. He wants to go to hell. Let him go to hell. I was watching, I don't know how many of you have seen the Los Angeles fire. I was watching one of their celebrities. And the celebrity said, indeed, God is real. He cannot be mocked. And I repent. I don't say, why? Then I just tried to do one or small search here and there. And I got to know that that's where most of the celebrities stay. Those people that when they are doing Olympics and all of that, they depict Jesus as a monkey and all those kind of people. And then the fire is burning them like that. I say, look at you. Right now, you believe that God cannot be mocked. Why should you wait for fire before you come to that end? It's serious. There are people, they behave like they are bigger than God. It's like they're even white. You know, the people that, the atheists and those guys that they don't believe in church, and when they see Christians, they feel like they are more wiser. One time I told one young man, do you know how many Christians are in the world? Who's who calls school during Fabium? Can I mean Tabium? Do you know the kind of people that are Christians? You don't know anything in your life. You think you are wiser than a professor who is a Christian. You think that person has not read and known that Christianity is true. Get away from here. Let me go and look for the next soul. You know what I'm talking about? I brought TV. I will cry. I will meet my mosque to the end. You know what I'm talking about? People feel like, are you okay? People think that if you go to church, like you are so, and the people who believe in Africanism, they say, you almost say, Christopher, they are so genie, they be mad. Yeah, just say you name history. Slaves for you mobile toy and anonymy. And a white man's religion. Just say you almost name bibi. That's almost genie power. You know, the Bible says he will reprove the world of sin. It is the work of the Spirit to make a man come to a point of saying that I need Jesus. And that's why we call him our Savior. That's why we call him our Savior. The work of the Spirit. You know, how many of you have come to a point, maybe somebody, you preach and now the person breaks into tears. Says, I need Jesus. It's littered all over in the Word of God. You remember that that prison officer? After Paul and Silas prayed, and they sang praises. And the Bible says the prison doors shook and the foundation shook. And then the whole thing, the gate opened. The man came in with a torch. It was in the middle of the night. Came in with a torch. And then Paul said, relax, relax, relax. It's just prayer and praise that did all this thing. Nobody is out. We are all here. We are not trying to break prison. We are all here. Then the Bible says, Paul preached the man. And the man said, what must I do to be saved? That's the work of the Spirit. He convinces you that you need the Savior. So you say, what must I do to be saved? Then Paul said, believe on the name of the Lord Jesus. You shall be saved and your household. That's it. You remember when Peter was preaching in Cornelius' house? The Bible says that as they heard the words, the Holy Ghost fell on them. The Holy Ghost fell on them. And then they spoke in tongues. That's the conviction of the Spirit. They believed the word. There are some people that pastor is preaching, they are
Not one of the no bon come on. Oh, Charlie. Hey, we are going to deal with you. Hey, Charlie. So for us to bridge you. These people, the Holy Spirit is not working on you. You are out of the service. It will be better you get out of the church and just go and die. Yeah, because some people make it look like they are doing God a favor when they come to church. That's how they make it feel like, oh, she said, sorry. Do you know people who have left church and their church is still standing? The body of Christ, he says, I'll build my church and the gate of hell shall not prevail. He is not you who will build the church. Even if I decide I won't come to church again, you'll be shocked. God will find a way by the time you realize you have another pastor. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Yeah. So the Holy Spirit will bring the world into a place of recognizing the lordship of Jesus. Because the Bible, will continue, it says, of sin because they don't believe in me. So the conviction power of the Spirit, of sin, is to unbelievers, to bring people who don't believe to their knees to see that Jesus indeed is Lord. Hallelujah. And then he says that he will convince again of righteousness. I've heard people say of righteousness, that's why we are the righteous of God. No, that's not what he's talking about. He will convince the world of the righteousness of Christ. What that means is that of the innocence of Christ. In other words, he will, by the resurrection, he will make nonsense and rubbish all the things people thought Christ was. Because people thought that he was an imposter. People thought he was a thief. People thought he was a rebel and all of that. And Jesus said, relax, I'm about to die. When I rise from the dead and the Holy Spirit comes, he will make the world know that I was righteous. And then he says, of judgment. I say, of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. So that's the work of the Spirit. Let's continue. I don't want to talk about that. Of sin because they believe not on me. Did you see that? Next verse. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. Next verse. Now Jesus says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Next verse. But the Spirit of truth is come. One time some Muslims said that, do you know the Bible prophesied about Muhammad? I say, which Bible now? My own Bible or your own Bible? They say, it's in the Bible. I said, really? He said, somewhere. The Bible says, when the Comforter is come. I said, you're talking about John 16. So when I was reading, after I finished, I said, Where is Muhammad? I said, no, he said, when the Spirit, I say, the Bible's when he, the Spirit, is Muhammad the Spirit? He said, no. I said, what's your problem right now? Say, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth is come. Look at that. He will guide you into all truth. Now, that's where I just want to stay a little bit. Remember, Jesus says, I have many things to tell you, but you can't bear them now. But when the Spirit comes, he will lead you into all truth. Now, it means that he will lead you into all that I have to say. So, all truth refers to all that I have to say. My God. Hallelujah. He will lead you. Now, so when we talk about being led by the, I know being led by the Spirit, maybe you were thinking for me to open Romans chapter 8, verse 14. Them that are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of, that scripture, I will scatter it. You know that has nothing to do with being led from wherever to wherever. It has nothing to do with that. It has nothing to do with God leading you to go somewhere or take this job or don't take that job. No. So being led by the Spirit. Jesus is the one who taught being led by the Spirit. Before everybody. So, and Jesus taught that being led by, when we say the Spirit is leading, the leading of the Spirit brings you into all that. that Jesus has to say. So what would Jesus say about what would Jesus say? Let's say, what would Jesus say about the kind of job I have to pick? What would Jesus say about where to go and win souls right now? What would Jesus say? That is, so the leading of the Spirit simply is what Jesus has to say now. Come on, are we together in this place now? So now it means that if the Spirit is going to lead you, the Spirit is leading you into all that Christ would have said. If Jesus was here, because remember, he's talking to them that I have many things to tell you, but you cannot handle them now. Imagine as we are here, I'm telling you about the kind of how the ministry will go 10 years from now, this, and then you do that and do that. 15 years from now, you even forget. So when the Holy Spirit comes, at every given point in time, he will tell you what I am supposed to tell you. And that is what you call the leading. That is what you call the leading of the Spirit. Now, so don't see the leading of the Spirit that you are there and say, my son. The leading of the Spirit, look at that. He says that, for he will guide you into all truth. I'll close with the word guide, but let me finish this one. He says, he will guide you into all truth. The word truth there is reality. Into the real fact. So he will guide you into all truth. Say, the Holy Ghost guides me. Into all truth. Now, what is all truth? All truth is all that Jesus has to say. From before, now, and ever. Now, then look at it. He says that, for he shall not speak of himself. Why is the Holy Ghost the one that will lead you to all truth? Because he will not come talking about himself. So the leading of the Spirit is not the Spirit telling you about himself. It's the Spirit telling you what Jesus, or what the mind of Jesus is for you at that particular given time. So the Spirit does not come and talk to you about himself. Now let's continue. He says, but whatsoever he shall hear, that he shall speak. Now that means when we talk about the leading of the Spirit, we are talking about the Spirit speaking the words of Jesus. Okay. Whatever he hears, that he will speak. Okay, so now it means that the leading of the Spirit is equal to words. Don't come and tell me the Holy Spirit lead you and say, I felt. There's this intuition. It's words. In this teaching, I'll scatter some sacred tables. So amazingly, you will find people will think that, he says, how is it? Something, there's something. And we will say, that thing, no. That's not how the Holy Ghost leads. The Holy Ghost does not lead you by, there's this. I can't, you are not led by the Spirit. You are not led by the Spirit. Because if the Spirit of God is leading you, it's not, nobody did that in the Bible. Where did you get that? So we say that the Holy Spirit will lead you by inner witness. I took time to go through the Word of God. And surprisingly, I didn't find anything like that. And those who talk about the inner witness, I mean, they talk about, now the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. But that has nothing, that's in Romans 8. It has nothing to do with the leadership of the Spirit. So the leadings of the Spirit is one. The leading of the Spirit is that when the Spirit comes, He will speak. I'm talking to you about how to hear God's voice. He will speak. The Holy Spirit is not somebody that will pray you. What's the meaning of prayer? To tap, you know, like. He said, the Holy Ghost. Those are transcendental experiences. But the leading of the Spirit, Jesus says, He will speak. The word speak means that He will utter. That means if you want to know the leadings of the Spirit, you got to be close to the words of God. That means if you want to hear God's voice, it's not by activations, as people teach. Just be quiet. What you're doing has nothing to do with God. The leading of the Spirit is in words. That Jesus is the one who is bringing the Spirit, and He's telling what the Spirit will do. How did you manage to get other things? So the Spirit of God can lead you. You'll be there, you just feel You can have all the if you are not close to the word, you will not be able to interpret it. Now I'm not saying that doesn't exist. It exists. It's called spiritual perception. It's a knowing. Paul says, I perceive that this voyage, this ship will suffer shipwreck. I perceive it's not it's like we shouldn't go. It's like we should go. No. The perception is called spiritual knowledge. It's a knowing that comes to you that, no, we are not supposed to go. That is words. It's not something that, So Paul interpreted that, what you call, So you should not be a Christian and come hold the microphone and say that, I wanted to go, but something said I shouldn't go. When you do that, you were a babe. You should say that I wanted to go, but the Spirit of God spoke to me that don't go. Because I perceived that there was danger ahead. That's how Christians talk. When I woke up, like, something, like I was just feeling. No, it's not about feeling. The Bible says that, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that He shall speak. How does the Spirit of God lead us? Speaking. Case closed. No, there's no one, there's no two, there's no three. So wherever there are speakings that concern Christ, be ready to be led. If you understand that, you will know that church attendance is extremely important. Studying the word is extremely important, because it is in the confines of the word that the Spirit of God is able to give you the word for the moment, or He's able to give you the direction for the moment. Let's take, for example, somebody give me an example of something, a typical example of something that somebody would need the leading of the Spirit in. Somebody give me something. Don't say marriage or anything. Something that you can't really find it in the Word of God. Let me teach you how the Holy Ghost can lead you about that. Okay, so picking a particular course to study. Yeah, that's a good one. How would the Holy Ghost, because let's say there's no biography, I say biography, was biology. There's no biology in the Bible. Biology is not the words of Jesus. So let's say the Spirit of God wants you to study biology. How is He going to do that? Since He speaks only the word. How's he going to do that? You want to travel? How is the Holy Ghost going? Germany is not God's word. You remember in the Bible, Paul, they were asleep and Paul had a dream. And a man in Macedonia said, "Sir, come and help us." That man that spoke was the Spirit of God. Okay? That man that spoke was the Spirit of God. Come and help us. And then, when you continue, the Bible says, then we gathered. The word gathered means that we concluded. I will speak to you about interpreting the leadings of the Spirit. Yeah. He says, and then we gathered that the Lord is sending us to Macedonia. Now, so it means that the Spirit will not say, go and study biology. You will need interpretation. And that interpretation will happen by you based on how you have trained your spirit and your mind to be in sync. In other words, see, it's serious. And that's why a lot of Christians, they don't know God. That is why somebody can still be in church and still say, I'm an atheist. The person, Charlie, me just sorry, I didn't go, man, say, I'm going to be 3 years. It's not the person's fault. The person has not been taught on how to interpret these things. Because we come to church, what do? We are selling oil, we are not selling oil, we are selling cocoa, we are not selling cocoa, we are selling milk and all of that. And then, That's not what church is about. Church is supposed to be a place for spiritual literacy. Hallelujah. And then, in another instance, so I spoke to you about Macedonia, right? Where they in another instance, in Acts 10, you find out God wanted to lead Peter to Cornelius' house. God gave him a dream. And the Spirit of God says, Peter, rise up, kill and eat. Kill and eat is equal to go to Cornelius' house. So the guy got up and he was in the process of the interpretation. And then he was told that some men have come from somewhere and they are looking for you. And I said, really? What is the matter? And then the people started saying, before he said the Spirit of God told him, rise up and go with them. Do you understand what I'm talking about? So the leadings of the Spirit would have to be interpreted. Forget about that. All the interpretation I spoke to you about, I will take time and explain to you. So he says, he will guide you. It is the work of the Spirit to guide you. Who am I talking to? It is the work of the Spirit to guide you. Are you here with me, everybody? You should not get up and just make a hasty decision. Don't live your life as though there is nobody in your life that will give you direction. The Bible says the Spirit of God, He will guide you. The Holy Spirit will not just make you pray in tongues. The Holy Spirit will not just make you shake. The Holy Spirit will not just make you fall down under the power of God. One of the work of the Spirit, one of the most important work of the Spirit in the life of the Christian is spiritual guidance. He will guide you. Jesus says, it is for your advantage that I go away. Because imagine, Jesus could be at one place at one time. As long as he's in the body, before his resurrection, hallelujah. He's just at one place at one time. Imagine the number of people that would need spiritual leadership. a number of people that will need, Lord, tell us what to do. But he can be at one place at one time. So Jesus takes all his brain, all his mind. Come on, are we together? What he will say in this matter, what he will say in that matter, and he puts it in the spirit. Then he sends the spirit to live in each and every one of us, so that in Lena, the full mind of Christ, which is equal to all truth, is in Lena by the spirit. In that's the same thing. So he replicates himself to be in everybody. So that's why he says, it is good for you that I go away. Because see, if I don't go away, I cannot have my mind in everybody by placing it in the spirit. So the Bible says, who has known the mind of God that he will instruct him? Then it says, but we, in 1 Corinthians, but we have the mind of Christ. What does the Bible mean when we have the mind of Christ? He says that, I had not seen nor ear heard, neither had it entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them to us by his spirit. So the spirit reveals the mind of Christ. What is the mind of Christ? The mind of Christ is what Jesus will say, how he will direct you, how he will tell you, okay, no, this one is better for you. No, don't do this. No, don't choose that. No, don't pick this. You do this. You do that. You do that. So when you believe and the Spirit of God comes to live in you, the Spirit of God is the mind of Christ alive in you. So the Spirit guiding you into all truth. Now, let's continue. You'll find it. Go to all truth. I'll show you something there quickly. Aha. Verse 14. Aha. He shall glorify me. Now, look at this. It says, for he shall receive of mine, NIV. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. So anything the Spirit will reveal to us is in the mind of Christ. Come on, are we together in this place now? This is not your usual how to be led by the Spirit service. So the Spirit of God, my God, hallelujah, now, whatever is in the mind of Christ, he has the permission to reveal to us. So how your life should be, is it in the mind of Christ? He says, I know the thoughts that I have of you. They are not plans of evil, but of good, to bring you to an expected end. It means that in the mind of God, das kabar divahaya, he has the beginning, the end of your life. The mind of God captures the details of all that your life should be. You are 12 years. You are going to be 95 years. Every area of your life. I don't know if it's Psalm 119 or Psalm 13 something. He says that all my details was not hid from you. And in thy book, all my members, you wrote them. So every aspect of my life, you have written down. Listen, when somebody is going to build a house, the person does not just get up and go and build. There is something that we call the plan. The plan. All right? So you see the plan. You hold the plan like that. To the layman, the person is seeing a drawing. To the architect, he looks and says, wow, what a building. Wow, what a building. He's seeing all the grasses. He's seeing the wall. You are seeing lines. Lines and diameters and diagonals and circumference and all of that. And the person is seeing everything. Says, this is the bedroom, this, that. I remember I saw a plan, and all that I'm seeing is, you know, it's not the graphical one. The one they've drawn on paper. See, 3 meters, 4 meters. I say, what in the world is this? I'm not able to interpret everything. So that is the plan. Now, when that plan, when the architect has that plan, he goes to the bush and he begins to tell them, start digging a hole. You are coming and you are seeing a hole. The next time you come, you see some pillar somewhere. You see some concrete. You see some casting. You see that. 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 So when God says, I know the thought, I know the plan that I have for you, it means that I have the blueprint of your life in my mind. Ay. Glory to God. Shout it, I'm prophetic. One more time, say it, I'm prophetic. So he says, I have the blueprint of your life in my hand. So in the mind of God, every part of you, whatever, where you were born, where you will grow, how you will end, everything is written. Now, it's in the mind of God. How does it get transmitted to you so that, oh my God, I need some time now. I really need some time now. How is it going to be transmitted to you? Now, the word guide. Let's come to the word guide. Because of time, let's come to the word guide. Then I will link the whole thing. The Greek word guide is, you know, let me give you the historical background of the word. Is that those days, when you are traveling somewhere, it's not today you are going with a car and all of that. You are walking or you are on a donkey or something. And there were mostly robbers on the road. And they had some corners you have to pass. And so when you are going on journeys you are not familiar with, you will need a guide. You need a guide, number one, who knows the destination you are supposed to go, and he knows where the meanderings that you are going to go through, and then he will take you through that. Now, if you decide you're going to go without a guide, or you're going to go without somebody who will guide you, you are going to be in danger. You can even die. So the word guide, the word he will guide you, that word guide means somebody who knows the destination. But he is not at the destination waiting for you. He knows the destination, so he's taking you to the destination. So when he says the Spirit will guide you into all truth, it means that the Spirit is going to take you to the destination based on how Jesus would have done it. Come on, are we together in this place now? How many of us would be happy if Jesus was your uncle? Yeah. Do you think you'd have, you know, you'd have been confused? In life. You just go to him and say, Uncle, hey, I wanted to do this and do that. What do you think? Say, oh, no, this one is, it's not God's plan for you. This is God's plan for you. Now, that thing that you call guide, that Jesus should have done for you, he put it in the Spirit. So Jesus takes his mind, okay? Literally, he pulls out his mind and puts in the Spirit. And then he puts the Spirit in you. So that all the plans, all the thoughts, all the thinkings of God, because he is the Alpha and Omega, he is the beginning and the end. He knows the beginning from the end. You know, when God start something, he starts from the end. He can start from the end. He can start from the middle. He can start from anywhere. Yes, that is why there are people, he will meet them from a very zero point. And there are people, he will meet them from 10. There are people who meet them from 100. Wherever he meets you, he knows how to go about with you. Praise the name of the Lord. Oh, come on. I said praise the name of the Lord now. So, Spirit, he says that all my members were written in your books. My days, my ways, all of them are in your books. David says, I understand that there's no part of me that is hidden from your sight. Come on here. There's no part of my life that is hidden. I'm not going to be worried. There's no part of my life hidden from your books. And by the Spirit of God, that which is the plan of God can be transmitted to you at every given point in time. So that by the time the Holy Ghost is done with you and you are the destination, you will know that all the plan has come together. You will know that all the plan has come together. Praise the name of the Lord. So the leading of the Spirit, it's not that the Holy Ghost is leading you halfway. The leading of the Spirit is supposed to bring you to that expected end. God has an expected end. God has a way He wants your life to conclude. God has a way He's written the whole thing like a movie. And He knows where He will say finally the end. And the Holy Spirit knows where and how your life should end on earth. And God has put Him in. And He says that how He leads you is that He will speak to you. Say, I'm closer to words. Like you mean, say, I'm closer to words. That means if you're going to be led by the Spirit, you have to be closer to words. Because the Spirit speaks. The Spirit speaks. That's why I tell people, if you want to hear God's voice, the first thing is not prayer. No. Get to the Word of God. Feast on God's Word. The Holy Spirit cannot do much. He cannot lead much. He cannot lead you much if you are not familiar with God's Word. You will not even be able to know how to interpret it. And that's why we come to church. Look at people who don't go to church. Look at how their lives are. They make series of mistakes in their financial life, in their marital life. Look at people who don't care about anything. You see their wife beating them, they beating their wives, or something somewhere. And you just see, something is not right. And these people could have simply been taken out if they were closer to words. The Spirit of God leads through words. Don't come and tell me that, I just felt it. You don't know words. You should not feel. You should not feel. You see, as the Word of God is coming to you this Sunday morning or this afternoon, Sunday afternoon now, as these words are coming to you, you will see that the Spirit of God mostly will interpret a particular point of the message to you differently. He'll be explaining it to you differently. So you will see that maybe it's a word that came. Maybe that's here the Spirit of God. Take that bold step. Somebody, the Holy Ghost will say, all right, so I've given you a take step to marry. Another person, take that bold step, go and get the admission. Somebody take that. So it's one word, but the Spirit of God deals with you individually. That means in that day, if you were not in church, you were not led by the Spirit. So don't think that, a lot of people think that when we say the Spirit of God is leading you, it's something that you have to be in your room and then the Holy Ghost will come to you and say, get up. No, He leads where there are words because He speaks. You remember in church in Antioch, He says that separate unto me Saul and Barnabas. If those guys were not in church that day, they would not have been led. Come on, praise the name of the Lord now. Are we together in this place? So as the message, as the Word of God is coming, you will see varieties of personalized dealings. You can be teaching and be preaching about praise. And somebody will come back and say that it was when we're having our praise month and we're singing, then the Spirit of God told me to go and build that business. What has praise got to do with business? So the Spirit of God will bring to you the mind of Christ. It is not everything you are teaching that everybody needs at that same time. Somebody has come to church. The person is on fire. He wants to go and build something. Wants to go and kill the devil. Somebody too has come to church. The person is on water. Someone has come. The person is angry. Somebody has come. The person is sleepy, tired, worn out. He is tired of life. The person is just sitting down. Master, you are talking plenty. Leave us alone. What's your problem right now? But if that person suddenly pays attention. So that's why we say when you come to church, you will not go as the same way you came. It doesn't mean that when you go, we'll give you money. You will not go home the way you came is that if you pay critical attention to every part of the service, sometimes it's just the opening prayer. You see, it's prayer. The person who is even praying does not even will just be saying, oh, it's coming in. Oh, my God, it is coming, it's working. Oh, and you, the person will feel like I'm just talking to, you know, to stir the prayer. And you will hear, somebody is down. The Holy Ghost just told me that what I have prayed for is coming in. That's the leading of the Spirit. Hallelujah. That's the leading of the... So the Spirit's leading is in words. His guidance is in words. That's why where you go to church matters. Because if you go to a church where they don't preach the mind of God, you can't be led. Because the Spirit of God cannot lead outside the mind of God. Come on, it's right there in the book. He says, I have many things to tell you, but you can't bear them now. But when he, the Spirit, is come, he will lead you into all truth. He will guide you into all truth. Every area of your life will be touched. Every area of your life. If you have made an unpardonable mistake, if you have lost everything, the Spirit of God can lead you on the paths of restoration. As you claim the word, as you receive the word, and as you abide close to the word, as you pay, he says, my son, attend to my words. Attend to my words. Proverbs 4, he says, I attend to my words. Give attention to my words. Hallelujah. What is the character you have for the word? You should attend to the word. That is why we go and we preach to all kinds of people. If you are a criminal, we say, come to church. Sir. You are not a criminal, you are just in church. We say, you are just in the house. We say, come to church. You are the firstborn, we say, come to church. You are from Sechikrom, come to church. You are from Achikope, come to church. No. And so when we come to church, we are people of different colors. You are in the church, you have somebody who steals, you have somebody who gossips, you have somebody who, all kinds of things. You can't even have somebody who is a witch. All in the church, one church, different troubles. But as the word of God keeps coming, and the hurrying of the assem is that it begins to lead you out, lead you in, lead you out, lead you in, lead you out, lead you in, lead you out. By the time the person has stayed like a year, 2.5 in church, you begin to see that the person's life has taken shape. That is the leading of the Spirit. Come on, are we together in this place? How many of us, when you came to church, if we showed you your picture and now, before and after, your picture, it's not how you look physically, but how you look, your life, yeah, before and after, yeah, you'll be shocked. Sometimes you see somebody, you know, the person is in the world and the person is sleeping with somebody for iPhone. It's serious. Like you just, you are in church. You say, you are in church. Do you know why you are saying, how in the world? It's because of the leadership of the Spirit. You'll be led to a place. Because you too, you could have done worse. You would have done worse. You will not even sleep with somebody for iPhone. You will sleep with Nokia 3310. So you see that as you fellowship with God's word through the teachings, you are led by the Spirit. Revelations come to you. Jesus says he would take of what belongs to me and show it to you. The word show in the Greek means to announce. not to reveal, but to announce. He will announce it to you. So the Holy Spirit leads by announcement. He leads by talking. He leads by speaking. So one of the elders, you are here with me now.
Yes, sir.
It does not matter who comes to join your one. Don't throw them away.
Yes, sir.
Because as the word of God comes, as the word of God comes, you will see, boom, the Spirit of God will just whisk somebody out of something by the announcement that is coming from your mouth. Are we together in this place now? It's very important. So
I'm led.
Come on, I'm led.
I'm led
by the Spirit.
So what does it mean when you say you are led by the Spirit?
It means that the Spirit takes the mind of Christ and announces it to you. The Spirit takes the mind of Christ and then announce it to you.
It's very important. Don't just quickly come and say, as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. No. That's not what he's talking about. The Spirit takes what is the mind of Christ, and that's what? Come on. And that's what? And he announces it to you. And you see, he has a mind in every aspect of your life. Hallelujah. He has a mind in every aspect of your life. Every area of your life, you can be led. And it does not matter your age. Hallelujah. It does not matter where you stand. It does not matter what you do. You can be led by the Spirit. And what is that? By speaking. The Spirit speaks words to you. Hallelujah. The Spirit speaks words to you. 8:14. Romans. So I'm led by the Spirit. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, let's begin from verse 9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised Christ that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, this is where Romans 8:14 begins. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors. Don't go and say we are debtors. We are debtors. The B is silent. Say, I'm going to collect my debt. There's no debt. It's called debt. I'm going to take my debt. And say debt. So we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. So put NIV there. We are debtors not to the flesh, but to the Spirit. So therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation. But our obligation is not to the flesh, to live according to it. Next verse. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if you by the Spirit, you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. Now, what does it mean to be led by the Spirit according to Romans 8:14? To stop sinning. So to be led by the Spirit, according to Paul, is that the Spirit of God will help you on how not to continue sinning.
So here, he is not talking about Spirit of God, I'm going to cook banku. Should I cook rice or other thing? No. The leading of the Spirit here is that the Holy Ghost leads you to kill sin in your body. So it's another leading of the Spirit, but it's not your leading. It's not you. So you can't pick this scripture and say that because this one will mean that if you are not led by the Spirit, you are not the Son of God. You know what I'm talking about? But the word children of God here he uses in the Greek, he uses the Greek word that's translated as children means that matured sons. So it means that there are children of God that can, they are children of God who are not led according to this scripture. But those that are led in this way, they are very mature. And you know, Galatians 5 talk about the same thing. He says that if you are led by the Spirit, then you are not under the law. You understand what I'm talking about? And then he says, and these are the works of the flesh. Then he begins to list them. Then he says, these are the works of the Spirit. And if you are led by the Spirit, then you are not under the law. In other words, Paul's teaching of being led by the Spirit has to do with how to deal with sins, physical sins in your body. So it will mean that when a Christian is led by the Spirit, according to Paul, what is going to happen is that sins, repetitions of sins will be dealt with. I'll teach this before the month ends. Praise the name of the Lord. So if I'm being led by the Spirit, it means that I am killing. And this one has nothing to do with what I'm sharing with you. Do you understand what I'm talking about? There are two leadings of the Spirit. So I'm talking about the John leading. The Jesus' leading of the Spirit is that he will lead you into all truth. That is every area of your life. Paul says that the leading of the Spirit here, the Spirit will lead you to walk in righteousness. Praise the name of the Lord now.
We trust you've been blessed by this message. This and many more messages by Reverend Samuel Kwame Sasu are now available on all major podcasting platforms. Kindly search for Reverend Samuel Kwame Sasu and tap the follow button for more. Visit us at any GWC church near you in Sawom, Kutunse, Achimota, Bubuashi, Kumase, Kintampo, and Oda. God bless you.
Kobaye. In Christianity, God is a preserver. In Christianity, God is a deliverer. In Christianity, God is one who prospers. He's a prosperer. He's one who prospers. So in Christianity, God is our soter.